official Pulp MX app bonus Pulpcast.
Thank you for supporting us with your purchase of the Pulp MX app. Bonus Pulpcasts are provided to add value to your purchase. Please also remember to click the Amazon banner on PulpMX.com when buying anything from Amazon.
Welcome to the Pulp MX app podcast. With me on the line, one of the most accomplished mechanics of all time, and who's got a little bit of a new role now in the last year or so, Mike Goose Gosler. Goose, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and if people want to know, we covered your career in a long-ass podcast maybe a year and a half ago. Check out the archives. Yeah, check out the archives, and you can learn all about Goose and all his championships and race wins and everything else. But anyways, for now, you're working for Team 2-2, which, of course, as we know, Chad Reed suffered an injury in Supercross. You thought you'd maybe be helping out Ben Townley. He got hurt. So what are you doing on your downtime?
Well, we were going to the shops on a regular basis and kind of working on some new stuff for next year that you don't normally get a chance to do when you're in the wide open race mode.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of, we got caught up on that, and actually we have a little bit of time off right now. Chad told us to go ahead and take a few weeks off and get ready for him to come back, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're not doing anything. Like I said, that started about a week and a half ago. Up until that point, we were at the shop quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, which is nice for you, a guy that you go for so long, right? It's got to be nice to have some downtime.
Yeah, but it's just strange. It's strange to be in the middle of a national series.
Yeah.
And not being part of it, and also being away from the whole thing. My whole career, I've never had this happen. Usually when you're on a team, your team is big enough, if somebody gets hurt and your rider unfortunately gets hurt, there's ways to help out the rest of the team, but we're a one-man team, and without Chad or another rider, it's not a whole lot to do.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about the role, though. You're no longer a race mechanic, per se. You're not holding the pit board in the trenches responsible for Chad. Lars Lindstrom does that and does a great job. How do you like the new role, and do you like it?
It's challenging. I mean, there's always new things coming up, with the technology changing and stuff, and it's a good challenge for me. I've never been in this role. Usually, I'm in my own little. I'll get my head down and doing my own thing, building one race bike, and now you're kind of involved in all kinds of different aspects of the team. And
mm-hmm.
It's just a whole different deal for me. When Chad hired me, he hired me without really having a position for me yet because he didn't know how the team was going to be structured for the year. And
yeah.
So I didn't even know what I was going to be doing when I got hired. And when we found out it was just him going to be riding and, who else was going to be working on the team, he put me in charge of a technical director.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of just encompasses a whole bunch of different things, everything.
Yeah. But do you like it? Or do you kind of wish you were back holding the board?
I think the board thing is, honestly, I think the board is almost a waste of time,
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's anything you can put on the board that has ever made a difference, maybe.
Right.
Maybe some riders where somebody's catching you, they're able to step up the pace. But, the building of the motorcycle every week, I kind of miss that. I really enjoy building up a bike from nothing. But actually, I helped Lars quite a bit do that stuff. So, our plan was when we went to the races, I was going to stay after and help Lars build the bike. And
mm-hmm.
So I still would have, I'd still get my hands dirty and be doing that every week too. So
yeah.
I'm not totally not doing that. It's just doing a bunch of other things too.
Yeah. And you find you still get the same adrenaline rush watching down on – are you down on the floor, or where do you watch from?
Well, during the Supercross series when Chad was racing, I was down on the floor with Lars. I get the same adrenaline rush. It was good while it lasted, and definitely got the adrenaline pumping when Chad was out there.
Hey, now, obviously, you worked for Chad in 2009. You won the 450 Motocross title with him, and you guys really clicked, and – he hired you and got you on board. What's he like as a boss? How's that?
He's pretty intense. You know, not, I don't mean in a bad way towards me. For a guy that's able to go race and also be a team owner and team boss, I mean, he's got his finger on every part of the team. He knows exactly what's going on. He's involved with all the sponsors. He makes all the decisions. And it's just amazing how he finds the time and how he just juggles his, you know, personal life and his team life and a racer life and all that into one person. I mean, it's amazing what he's capable of.
Yeah.
I've kind of always known that. I mean, working with him, you know, earlier, he's been self-sufficient and on his own for a long time, and it kind of shows that, you know, he doesn't have a big entourage around him. He does a lot of it himself, and it's just that's how Chad clicks.
Obviously, you're factory Honda forever. You moved over to Suzuki with Ricky Carmichael and won a lot of races there. Why did you leave Suzuki? Did you want to stay? Did Chad just make you an offer you couldn't believe? And when you got the call from Chad, were you like surprised at that? I guess talk about the leaving a Suzuki and going over to 2-2.
You know, last year about the middle of the motocross season, Chad and I have talked. I mean, ever since I've worked with him, we communicate all the time. But during the middle of the motocross season, he'd asked me to come over, you know, or think about coming over to work for him, but didn't know in what capacity or anything. And I got word at Suzuki that I should probably be looking for another job because things they were unsure, and they were giving me a heads up basically, you know, so that I wouldn't be caught out in case something happened where I wouldn't have a job. They said, you know, if something comes up, you should consider it.
Okay.
So I started thinking, you know, like, wow, maybe there is something going to be some big shake up at Suzuki. And then Chad ended up calling me, and I met with him at Southwick the night before the race and asked me to come over, and I pretty much gave him my word that I would at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how it came about.
Right. And of course, the night before Southwick, which wasn't good for you over at Suzuki. Let's talk about last year a little bit. You had the Freestone fuel thing. You had the electrical at Southwick that you eventually figured out and got Ryan Dungey back on the track. But fair to say that last year at Suzuki might have been your most frustrating year. I mean, we kind of knew Dungey was checking out of there. So what was that like? Was it as frustrating as it looked from the outside?
It was very frustrating. I feel bad for Ryan. I mean, both times, at Freestone, he was leading the moto, was gone. And the fuel just boiled out. We were running the same tank we ran last year, year before, I'm sorry, and never even came close to running out of fuel in the first moto. He had enough to do another lap and a half of fuel in the tank when he finished. You know, we always monitor the fuel.
Yep.
And the Freestone, he ran out with two laps to go, so he boiled out 3.5 laps worth of fuel out of his tank.
Right.
And, the worst feeling, you know, the guy's leading, ready to win for the day, and God forbid he didn't crash the last couple laps. But
yeah,
to have that happen, it was it was horrible to watch for him. And then at Southwick, he won the first moto and was really comfortable. We had the bike running, we were getting ready to go do the moto. I was putting on my fanny pack, and Ryan walked over and he wanted to talk to me for a little bit, and I shut the bike off. And we talked, and then it wouldn't start, and there was no spark, no nothing. So then you're in a scramble trying to figure out what's wrong, and we started changing out a few parts, and we weren't getting anywhere. Ended up changing the whole electrical system and getting it started, but one of those little glitches in the newer bikes were, I know of two other manufacturers that have had it happen under race conditions where they weren't able to start the race, and seems like when they get wet, sometimes something happens to where, we never did figure out what component actually. So we brought everything back, diagnosed everything, every part that was on his bike. That, you know, when the bike wouldn't start, we brought back to the shop. Every part worked. Everything.
Yeah. Right.
So frustrating, when you don't even know what happened or why it didn't have spark, and then you end up running the parts on the dyno, and then on the practice bike, and everything's fine. So. Just really, really, really tough to be part of all that, and the two races were he could have won the overall pretty easily.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, of course, the chain in Supercross, which we think was Kennard hitting him the turn before, bending his rear chain guide. And I mean, I don't know, Goose, have you had three mechanicals like that in your life, never mind in 1 year?
No. It was definitely, I don't know. They say, luck has a big part of winning championships, and it does, It definitely shows right there. You have good luck, and sometimes you have bad luck, and some things are out of your control.
Yeah, and think about all those races that you won with RC, perfect seasons, and, it looked...
But even then, you win races, and afterwards you look at the bike, and you go, oh, my gosh, how did the bike finish,
Yeah.
You find some components that they damaged or somebody ran into or something that's about ready to fail, and you're just like, man, another lap, and it wouldn't have made it,
Yeah.
But definitely, you try, and it's just a machine, Mm-hmm. Machines break, and things happen to them, and you try to control as much as you can by doing the best job you can, being well prepared, but sometimes, like I said, the luck is not on your side, and sometimes it is. So
That
most last 12 months of those three weird things happening, I was ready to just quit.
Yeah, no doubt. And I felt bad for, obviously you have the wins and the titles and the championships, one of the best mechanics ever. You didn't have that Buds Creek first moto win, but you got just about a lot of other things. And so your record is not beyond questioning, but I felt bad for Mike Webb because here he comes, the new guy after DeCoster, and right away, they point fingers at the manager, fairly or not, and I felt bad for Webb. I'm like, oh, man, if Ryan was a little wary of that deal about Roger leaving and Mike coming in, well, now he's, out the door.
I felt bad for everybody because the whole team works hard, It's just a big letdown. But like I said, when we went to the Nationals, we didn't have our new tanks from Japan yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had one new tank, and I gave it to Mark Valcourt to use for his rider because he didn't have one the year before. And so, my tank is still good. I can run a couple of races on my tank. It won a bunch of races last year. We won a championship on it.
Yeah,
I'm just going to run my tank, and then when the new ones come in, I'll switch it up. So, going back to Mike Webb, totally under his control. My control is it's just the worst thing happening, The electrical problem, the bike was running. We had it running.
Shut up
in no part.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely not something Mike did or the rest of the team did, but ultimately, Ryan's one standing there on the side of the track or in the pits wondering what is going on.
Yeah.
But as much as we were too, we were wondering too, what did we do to have these things happen?
Did you kind of know that he was out of there, Suzuki? Did you know early on or have a feeling that he wasn't going to re-sign despite, the wins and the titles?
I kind of had a feeling, even the year before, when Roger and Ian left, Ryan, he counted on those guys for their support. And when they left, I know there was some talk of him trying to leave. I kind of thought, he's probably not going to be at Suzuki for a long period of time. So it worked out.
What about you going to KTM with him? Any talk of that? Any thoughts of that? Did you entertain that?
There was a little bit, but it just didn't work out, with me having dual residencies, living part-time in Idaho, part-time in California, and KTM being where they're located, that program just wasn't going to work out for me. We ended up meeting and talking, but it just wasn't going to work out. So I was really, really, really fortunate that Chad stepped up and offered me a deal because he knows that I live in Idaho 6 or 7 months out of the year, and he was good with that. So for my sake, it couldn't have worked out any better, really.
And also, too, in a way, a reunion with Honda because you guys' race shop is the old road race shop at Honda, and you worked there for, I don't know.
Well, the thing with that is they say it's the old road race shop. Yeah, the last the last time that shop was used was for road race. But when I first came to Team Honda, we shared that building.
Oh, okay.
Was road race, and the other half was motocross. You were literally, you know, 10 feet away from the road race bikes. There was nothing separating it. One side of the room was road race, one side of the room was motocross. So it's just ironic how I'm back to where I started in the same room.
Yeah, really, right? You should probably get the same stall even or whatever. But how was that coming back to Honda? That had been pretty good. Everybody still, I mean, you knew the buildings, you knew how it worked and all that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that I, you know, that I'm still friends with that are still working there. It was great coming back there. You know, the resources there are everything you would need. You know, so you know, for us to have the ability to just walk into a shop with everything there, without having to, you know, having to come up with a budget for all that stuff, it worked out great for us.
What you've worked with Carmichael, you work with Dungy, now you work with Chad, and you worked with Chad before too. What's something they all have in common? What's something that if you could pick a couple things or something that, you know, you've worked with these guys, what do they all do? Obviously, you ride a dirt bike really fast, but what else?
Yeah, they're all really serious, you know, about what they do.
Uh huh.
And they believe in themselves. You know, that's another thing too. Once they get up to that level, they know what they're capable of, and they definitely believe in themselves that they're capable of winning.
Mm-hmm. And they treat it like a job too, I guess, right? Like it's a
full, And when you get to this level, I mean, it is a job. You have people working hard all around you, you know, on the motorcycle, on the training aspects, on the transportation, the accounting, you know.
Yeah.
Team managers. So, I mean, yeah, it's a full-time job for everybody, you know, especially for a guy like Chad running his own team because, you know, he's not like a typical rider. He rides for a factory and all he's got to do is go train.
Yeah.
Ride hard during the week and ride his motorcycle and show up at the races and everything's taken care of. Chad's got his finger on every part of the business.
He
trusts everybody else to do their jobs too, but he's involved with everything, you know, and he likes to be involved.
Yeah, yeah, the red pants, for example.
Yeah, everything. You name it, the look of the team, everything is his idea.
Oh, that's cool. The 2013 CRF 450 just got released to the public. Have you been working on it already for a while and getting involved with that thing?
No, I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, I would have thought you would have saw it already, Goose. You know.
No, it's down in Honda, but I haven't seen it yet.
How has Chad changed since you worked with him in 09? Or has he?
I don't think he's changed a whole lot.
No.
I mean, he's a father now.
Yeah.
In that way, he has changed. So, you know, there are more things we can relate to even, you know, than we did before. So, but I think he's more intense now. He has a vision of, you know, where he has control over a team and where it's going to go and how he wants it to operate and look. And so, yeah, he's changed in that respect. Before, he was just, you know, like I said, not just a rider, but a rider on a factory team and everything was left to somebody else. But now he has complete control over his destiny.
Yeah, he can kind of make that call himself time and time and two. Hey, what about, have you been watching the races so far, two rounds in?
Well, I've been only been able to watch the first moto. I don't know what, every time I think my DVR is going to record the second moto, something happens. So, yeah, I watched the first moto, though.
What are your thoughts on that? Stuart coming back on your old team, on Ryan Dungy's old bike, and couldn't get much closer between those two guys, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I just wish we were there racing against those guys, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough to watch it on TV. You know, I haven't been watching it live. I can get it on my DVR, and then I've been working so much on my own projects that I'll watch it about a day later or so and get to check it out.
What do you think? Are you surprised at Stuart? Are you surprised that he's this good, this quick with on that team?
No, I'm not. I mean, he's a great rider.
Mm-hmm.
And And I know the bike that he's riding is, you know,
yeah,
it was a very capable bike, and you put those two together, and I knew that he'd be in there. You know, we just haven't seen him commit himself to riding an outdoor series for a while, so
mm-hmm.
he hasn't forgotten how to ride, and I just figured that, you know, as soon as he got on board there, things have gone well for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been a real, like, you know, when you cover the sport for a living like I do, it's quite a shocking development. And then also too, Ryan's doing well. You got to remember that bike hasn't been outdoors either with that team. So, it's pretty pre-production bike or whatever it is, and they're doing well too.
Oh yeah, they're doing great. And Ryan is in really good shape, and you know, he's a guy you're gonna see you right up front at every single race. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's motocross. Anything can happen. There's going to be adverse weather conditions probably, and, I mean, tougher tracks and things change. And he'll be there every week.
Hey, when Chad got hurt in Supercross, I felt like him and Ryan Villopoto were maybe separating themselves a little bit from the other guys. Did you think that too? Did you, you know, before he got hurt, were you looking to maybe start seeing a little bit of separation?
Yeah, I honestly thought the same thing. You know, he was getting more and more comfortable. He didn't ride a whole lot before the series. I mean, the first time he did 20 laps was at Anaheim.
Yeah.
And Chad's not a guy that worries about, you know, how he does the first race. He understands it's a 17-race series, and you've got to be in there. You know, it's a long-term thing. And so he wasn't all wound up about it. And so to see him progress every week,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, himself also feeling that he was progressing, we just figured, you know, those two guys were going to be the ones going for the championship, you know. And
yeah.
I even heard from somebody in Villopoto's camp that he even mentioned that he wasn't worried about the other two guys as much as he was worried about Chad, because he knew Chad would be there for the long haul. And unfortunately, you know, just like that, you get hurt and it's over.
Yeah, he had told me that same thing. And it's funny because he kind of, when Chad came out, you know, the year before on his sort of pro circuit Honda, they kind of, a lot of people wrote him off. And then he started getting more and more parts and more help and started getting faster. And all of a sudden, I think Villo and maybe Dunge, I don't know, were like, oh, wait a second. The old guy's still got something here. And I think that they were getting a little worried in, you know, this past year.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, even just watching that last race where Chad got hurt and watching Villopoto and him go at it, he was definitely comfortable, you know, to hang it out that far.
Yeah.
And for an old, well, I shouldn't say old guy, for a guy that's more aged than the other ones, to be able to hang it out like that, it just shows how comfortable he was on our bike, you know, and the whole program. And I think he just felt comfortable with that, with everything that was going on within his team and within his life, you know.
Yeah. Do you talk to RC much anymore? You see that he's coming to Loretta's?
Yeah, I talk to him all the time. In fact, I talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that point. I can't really say.
I think what you're getting at is there might be a comeback, because I hear that. I hear rumblings of that too, here and there. But it's kind of cool. He's doing Loretta. He's coming back. He's getting back into it.
Yeah, he's been riding a bunch, so I know he's enjoying it.
That's good. Well, hey, Goose, thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate it. I know you're in between jobs and at the house, I mean, in between jobs, and you're taking the time today to do it, so I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to open up my own motorcycle shop, and I don't know what I'm thinking. It's so much work. I've been working on it for a year just on the shop part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, wait, what did I get into?
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't realize it was this much work when you're a one-man army.
Will we see it any nationals or probably not?
I'm not sure. You know, and when the boss calls and says we're going racing, then, you know, that's when we're going racing. As of right now, I'm just in Idaho working on my place up here.
I know he wants to do this nation's bad, so he's trying.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to – that's a goal for him.
Yep, I know. But, you know what, he's not going to rush into anything. He's at a point in his career where, you know, his health is so important, and, you know, maybe other, some other – he sets an example maybe that some other people should, you know,
mm-hmm.
take note of, as far as when you're hurt, just get better and be ready to, you know, come back when you're ready to race. Don't rush it. And he's not, definitely not rushing it. And he's going to be 100% when he comes back.
Wise words. Well, hey, thanks again for doing this. I appreciate it, Goose. Always interesting guy to talk to, always honest. And, yeah, thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good one.
See ya.
Take care. Bye.